Are you experiencing the peace of God? Why not? I'd like to show you something from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 today, that will show you how to experience the peace of God. Keep listening.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Experiencing the peace of God. We talked about this last week, if you were with us, when we looked at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. My understanding of Philippians chapter 4 is that those are not the only two verses that speak about the peace of God, even though the word peace is found there. Throughout the rest of the chapter, Paul addresses peace, and I want to be showing you that throughout the rest of this month of December. There is a clear biblical connection between sound mental health, that is peace of mind, and the quality of one's thinking. The Bible says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." That is why we are instructed in the book of Proverbs by King Solomon, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is why Matthew 12 has Jesus teaching that the heart is the beginning place of what we are, of what we do, and of what we say, whether for good or evil. Listen to Matthew 12, 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. See how it all begins in the heart? In this part of the Philippian letter that I'm going to be showing to you, Paul lists a number of traits which, if we incorporate into the way we think, will truly contribute to a peaceful and tranquil life. But then again, thinking is not easy, is it? And it's especially not always easy to be thinking on the right things, is it? And yet to do so will help us. Listen now to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'd like to read to you a quotation from A.T. Robertson as he was making comments on this verse that I just gave to you. He's probably the greatest Greek scholar ever. But listen to what he wrote about this passage in 1931. Thus, Paul introduces Christian ideals, old-fashioned and familiar words. They are pertinent now when so much filth is flaunted before the world in books, magazines, and moving pictures under the name of realism, the slime of the gutter and the cesspool. That's what A.T. Robertson said in 1931. Interesting. Now, Paul indicates here in Philippians 4:8 that I need to be searching about for these qualities, because even as good food is necessary for bodily health, so good thoughts are necessary for mental and spiritual health. Meditate on these things. Now think about what the Bible's telling us here. It's saying to think. It is saying to meditate. For without time to think, our spiritual lives cannot grow. When you think about all that you hear throughout the day, you know, we're hearing too much of the voice of man, aren't we? We need to make time to hear the voice of God by opening up the Scriptures and meditating on them. Therefore, acquire the habit of thinking. For you see, the mind quickly forms habits, just as the body does. And if those habits are of idleness or daydreams or vanity, the mind will soon become useless for thinking. So discipline your mind. Keep still and think. Think deeply, and then you will become a deep person. Think regularly, and so acquire the habit of thinking. What shall we think? It is good to drive out the wrong and impure thoughts from our hearts. But unless we obtain good thoughts to fill their place, the evil thoughts will return with sevenfold force. Well, what then shall we be thinking about? That's what Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Again, he said that we should be thinking about the things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, anything that's virtuous, and anything that's praiseworthy. Those are the things that I'll be thinking about. And that will help remedy any lack of spiritual growth I may have. Thinking. And thinking the right things is necessary, because a man can never be better than his thoughts. I'm sure those eight things that I just listed just a few moments ago from Philippians 4:8, you'd probably like to have all eight of those things in your life. But remember this: we only reap what we sow. See, our minds are like fireflies. The firefly only shines when he's flying, and so it is with the mind. When it's at rest, it darkens. You see, my life is what it is because of what I put into it. What am I putting into it? What results from the good thoughts of Philippians 4:8? Is it not the things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy? Back when watches were still mechanical, there was an exquisite watch that suddenly became irregular, but no defect could be discovered in it, until it was found that the balance wheel had been near a magnet, and that was the whole trouble right there. Well, even a sound mind can be thrown off by something impure, and the mind will not work right. This is why a brilliant mind can be an evolutionist. It explains why Judas Iscariot could do what he did. Cicero said, "To think is to live." Now, there is a connection between our text of today, Philippians 4, 8, 9, and with that of last week. Follow the reasoning of Paul, again, as I read to you from Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that we looked at last week. And I want you to pay close attention to his vocabulary. And notice the parts of man that he is discussing. Now watch this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now listen to this part especially. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, from the beginning, Paul's talking about what is going on in our minds. Well, what is anxiety? Well, it's a way of labeling some type of activity that's going on in the mind. To rid anxiety, we have to think out what we're going to say to God. By thanksgiving, we are remembering, there's an activity of the mind again, the past blessings of God in our lives. By doing as instructed in verse 6, we will have the peace of God. The peace of God surpasses all understanding, which suggests that God's peace is something that resides in our understanding. What does the peace of God do to us? Did you see what part of us it guards? It guards our hearts and minds. After this, Paul then tells us on what we ought to be thinking and meditating. Therefore, the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds does not refer to a miraculous event that prevents anything from evil from entering our minds. No, God involves us. He originates the blessing. However, the blessing of the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds is conditional. I have to work on the anxiousness. I am to present my request to God. I am to be in Christ because the guardian is through Christ. I am to think on the right things. If I want my prayers concerning my anxieties to be effective, I must learn how to think. And to think on the things listed in verse 8 of Philippians 4. So it's not so much the number of books that I read, or the variety of sermons I hear, or how much religious conversations I conduct. And those things will certainly help. But it is the frequency, it is the earnestness with which I meditate on the things that Paul has listed here. And so finally the truth is in me and it becomes a part of my being and it rules my life. Then I'll have growth or peace. Now let's listen to Philippians 4:9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice, my friends, the multidimensional experience of Christianity. Learning, receiving, hearing, seeing. A Scottish preacher prayed, "Oh God, when we read thy word, may we listen. When we listen, may we hear thy voice. When we hear it, may we know. And when we know, may we follow." That's what Paul's talking about. Now, think of what Paul is telling the Philippians. What were the things that they had learned, received, heard, and seen in Paul? Were not those things the teachings of the Holy Spirit? Were they not things that you would say comprise the life of Christ? How then should we react to these things? Obedience is the item that Paul is highlighting. Again, this shows that you cannot wait for the peace of God just to fall upon you. In addition to praying, giving thanks, and thinking upon the right things, I must obey the will of God. And then the peace of God will be with me. Experiencing the peace of God is dependent upon what goes through our hearts and minds. And then, what comes out in our actions. We are created in the image of God, and that is a spiritual quality. Peace is a spiritual quality. Meditating is a spiritual quality. Therefore, when I think or meditate, I am engaging myself in an attribute of God, opening myself up to His peace. I am not surprised that Philippians 4, 6 through 9 presents anxiety as the enemy of peace in the mind, and that Paul teaches us to pray, give thanks, think properly, and do what we have learned, received, heard, and seen in Him, because the mind and peace have a connection in the way that Daniel Webster illustrated. Listen to this. If we work marble, it will perish. If we work upon brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble into dust. But if we work upon immortal minds and instill into them just principles, we are then engraving that upon tablets which no time will efface, but will brighten and brighten to all eternity. So it's not so much that we think about peace, but we think about the things that bring peace. A philosopher many centuries ago said, "To see a man fearless in dangers, untainted with lusts, happy in adversity, composed in a tumult, and laughing at all those things which are generally either coveted or feared, all men must acknowledge that this can be from nothing else but a beam of divinity that influences a mortal body." You see, in our own minds, we can make heaven of hell or hell of heaven. In the first instance, we are learning from the peace of God. In the second, we are learning murmuring and complaining. A missionary said that while he was in Romanian prisons, he was kept alone in a cell 30 feet beneath the earth. He said, "For we never saw sun, moon, stars, snow, rain, flowers, or trees." He also mentions that he was beaten. And he says he complained to God that God had promised to give sun and rain to the good and to the wicked. And then he said to God, "Now listen, if I am good, then you have to give me sun and rain. If I am bad, then again, you have to give me sun and rain, because you give it to the good and to the bad. But I have no sun and rain, so am I good or bad?" But then he realized that he was a child of God. He is not supposed to be complaining about these things. A child of God is the light of the world. Thus, we should be giving the sun in people's lives instead of wanting it for ourselves. He concluded that he should not be complaining about what he did not have, but they should start giving. Therefore, let the cup of your mind be full with thoughts of peace and the things that make for peace, and there shall be no room for anxiety. Let the cups of our minds be filled with things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. And that is what we shall experience, because these things are all components of peace. We shall disseminate these things and bring them into our lives. Thus, we shall be surrounded with these things. Couple these with prayer and thanksgiving that we noted in verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. And anxiety. anxiety shall take a vacation from our hearts and minds. Speak, move, and act in peace as if you were in prayer, and watch what happens. Again, experiencing the peace of God is dependent upon what we think. Here are some quotes I'd like to give you for your consideration. David Snarnoff said, "What the human mind can conceive and believe, it can accomplish." See, your mind can conceive and it can believe that it can be free of anxiety and have peace. So work on those things and watch what happens. Benjamin Disraeli said, "Nurture your mind with great thoughts." Someone by the name of Collins said, "Peace rules the day where reason rules the mind." Emerson said, "Nothing can bring you peace but yourself. Nothing can bring you peace but the triumph of principles." Of course, in this case, we're talking about the principles of God. Isaac Taylor said, "A man of meditation is happy, not for an hour or a day, but quite round the circle of all his years." Farrar said, "No soul can preserve the bloom and delicacy of its existence without lonely musings and silent prayer. And the greatness of this necessity is in proportion to the greatness of evil." What working the land is to the health of the yard, the garden, the land, the working of the mind is to the health of your person. The soil feeds the seeds that land in it, producing a certain qualities of plants. The mind works with the seed ideas that are put into it, producing a certain manner of life. Plant anxieties, and guess what kind of person you'll be? An anxious one. Plant peace, and you will be a peaceful person. The mind and the body are married. They can only be separated by death. When one suffers, the other sympathizes or even empathizes. Therefore, let your mind be in Christ, and let Christ be in your mind. And you do this by putting your life in Christ, and Christ in your life. Why not start today? Is there a reason that you've been delaying? What are you waiting for? Have you just been waiting for God to automatically make these things happen in your life? Well, I hope that by what I've shown you from Philippians 4, especially verses 8 and 9 to, you see that that's just not the way it's going to work. Yes, God will bless you, but after you start turning yourself over to Him and you start following His leadership and you start being a student of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is a disciple of Christ. A disciple is a student or a learner. Learning what? Well, learning about life. Learning how to live. Learning how to understand God and to understand how God is in your life. Yes, that can truly happen. But only if you take the severe and radical step of dying to yourself. Are you ready to die to yourself? Listen, friends, you know, soon this life is all over. And then we stand before God at the judgment. Are you ready for that moment? Do you realize that that moment could be at any time? Why then? Please don't delay anymore. I urge you, my friends, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, to repent of your sins, turning away from your sin and turning your life in the direction of God that you might lead a righteous and holy life. And then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, that's right. If you change the way you think and you put your thoughts into Jesus as being the Lord, you can then turn your life around. But you still need to have the guilt of your past sins washed away. And God says He'll take care of that when you submit to His command to be baptized. That's immersion water. If you've not yet done that, I urge you to please get in touch with the Nile Street Church of Christ. You can call the church at 882-5894. That's 882-5894. Or the area code for that is 541. And even better yet, I would encourage you to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. In the yellow pages on the Church of Christ, you'll find a map showing you exactly how to get to the church building. You will also have the worship times, the phone number, and some other information that you may need. Woody Hensley, the preacher with the Nile Street Church, would be delighted to meet with you, to open up the scriptures for you, and show you what they say about how to have peace, especially peace from the guilt of your sin. Please don't delay any longer. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about how to experience the peace of God. This has been Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Living flame, spirit's fire, burning.